I've been around the world, but I always come home. Cause I know the only girls mama wants me to boat. I'm stuck in the time warp, my culture's a vulture. Picks in my brain, makes my soul an old sculpture. So I rob and steal, steal some brown juice. My personality split, my ace is a deuce. So I let loose, pick and choose, never lose. Hit the folks that saw, then hit the club getting boost. Then I know I got a lot, don't even gotta try. Practice makes perfect, and I know you know why. Moms will die, and dad'll just shake his head. I'm not a real doctor, I'm still pre-med. I'm no engineer, too much love for the beer. My crazy threat, got the whole fam thinking quit. The end is near, the solution, revolution. A new breed is coming, a brown evolution. Dilution of my past is the last. I was chilling with white, cause this lane's looking fast. The black guys were tough, the bad ass and the cat. So I stole from hip-hop, mob deep and everlast. At last, I got the answer, no doubt. Hear me shout, my existential vibes got clout. At last, I got the answer, no doubt. Hear me shout, my existential vibes got clout. Why? Cause I be the black Krishna, God on this earth. I'm raised 5,000 years before my first birth. In this land of freedom, the formula don't work. So I'ma drink and smoke until they burn me to earth. I be the black Krishna, God on this earth. I'm raised 5,000 years before my first birth. In this land of freedom, the formula don't work. So I'ma drink and smoke until they burn me to earth. Uh-oh. Oh, shit. I can't write this shit down. Get mad, Uncle Sam. What's up with this clan? Sometimes I trip and have the shit get me down. Sometimes I wonder, am I really down with the brown? I know what to do. The recipe is set. Lace a condo in Saga. Get occupied like Tibet at 28. Meet a nice, daisy honey. Take India's best. No more Playboy bunnies. She better have a dot like she's marked for death. She better have a hint of curry on her breath. I know the deal, she ain't fucking with the pill, and I ain't splitting the post till I'm climbing the hill. So get set up, it's best that you get met up. Many moms getting all they sorry straight wet up. It's your life, and they know for you what's right. You're still my little boy, no matter what you do at night. You can hang with white girls, see a movie in groups, but I don't wanna hear you getting brains in a coop. You got a job now, so what the hell comes next? Wanna waste your time writing meaningless checks? Get a new vest to match your Corsa and turban. Day after next, you can go back to rockin' urban. We gonna hook up all your friends and fans. Get 500 people for the baddest brown jam. You want to elope and save 40 grand, but the law's been passed with mom's strong pimp hand. Then again, I'll be the black Krishna, God on this earth. I'm raised 5,000 years before my first birth. In this land of freedom, the formula don't work. So I'ma drink and smoke until they burn me to earth. I'll be the black Krishna, God on this earth. I'm raised 5,000 years before my first birth. In this land of freedom, the formula don't work. So I'ma drink and smoke until they burn me to earth. I'll be the black Krishna, God on this earth. I'm raised 5,000 years before my first birth. In this land of freedom, the formula don't work. So I'ma drink and smoke until they burn me to earth.
Keep it deep in the underground. CKLN 88.1 FM.
From his Central Texas Command Center,
this is me against the world.
Good morning, CKLN listeners. It is May 13th, 2010. It is a Thursday. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. You're on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. You can also stream my shows, the ones that I post every day around 8-ish, 9-ish. Takes me a while to source them for you. Make sure that I back up a bit of what I'm saying when I'm going off like this. You can get those at radio4all.net, radio the number 4all.net, archive.org, or you can go to blackkrishna.blogspot.com for the radio shows and a bunch of other thoughts in my mind. And the reason I start off today's show with the song Black Krishna by your host, yours truly, is that today, 7 years ago in 2003, I wrote this song called Black Krishna, where I was kind of railing against some of the cultural pressures I felt at the time. And so, yeah, I've always been a bit of a spit disturber. Never afraid to speak my mind and speak a bit much. But I also do get a lot more back that way. I get myself validated when I'm right. I get myself upgraded when I'm wrong. And I get more of what other people have, you know, by trying to engage them more and ask for more and give more in some ways in terms of just trying to be real with other people in terms of conversations and communications. But at the same time, you know, since not everybody's like that, I'm not even saying everybody has to be, but the bottom line is, you know, even Tiger Woods, you know, aside from the other stuff he's doing, he's got to play the golf ball where it lands. We do have to be sensitive to people's needs today, regardless of our personality type. It's the only way to show you're thinking of them as well as yourself when you're trying to go off and flex some freedom. And the song was originally a poem. I banged it out on an ex-girlfriend's birthday, actually. And so, you know, shout outs to her as well today, because she's still lovely. They're all still lovely. And so I've kind of had a pretty good time so far here on planet Earth. And I've taken my next beef to the New World Order with all this extra stressing going on. I was kind of trying to figure out and the genesis of my kind of adventures in this area. I'm not going to go into a whole sort of thing right now, but the genesis of my adventures in this area was a series of epiphanies, including being at a place where I worked in Mississauga. And there was a young, not a couple, but young white dude and young Asian girl. Or a young Asian dude, young white girl, something like that. And they were just sitting in the back of this industrial parkway on a park bench. They asked if they could join me because there weren't many park benches and they wanted to eat lunch outside on a nice day, too. I said, sure, of course. So, you know, they joined me and I had my headphones on, but eventually we struck up a conversation. And I was asking them, you got any plans? Are you excited about anything? What's going on? How's work? How's this? And I wasn't trying to be aggressive. I basically said, how's work? All right. Anything else going on? And they were kind of about anything. Any thoughts of traveling? So expensive. You know, and so on. And I looked at the attitude of some of these folks, and I thought, wow, you're young. You know, you're attractive. You got a shiny nickel in your pocket. You're single. You're never going to have more freedom. And my old roommate, from the annex, shout outs to homeboy, he broke that down for me, where he said to me one day when I was lamenting, it had only been a couple of years since I'd moved out of home and it was after college, when I was lamenting, I was missing Thursday night pub nights and seeing my friends on a regular basis, he said, when you're young and you're single and you got a couple of dollars in your pocket, you'll never be more free than that. And so to see these people who should have been optimistic about what they could do in the world not be was certainly something that stuck with me, and so something that popped into my head to say this morning as I go off on the show. But here on CKLN Rude Awakening, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, the only reason I would bring an anecdote like that up is because in some way it has something to do with beating the New World Order. And that's because I think that they did all this. I mean, I think that if we had a chance to decentralize power, decentralize thought, not have a sort of concentrated media, concentrated corporate media that is in collusion, pushing certain ideas, telling us how to think, then I think we'd get along much better. And I think smaller social circles prove that. I think, you know, smaller communities around the world prove that. I've traveled the world myself. I've been to India, Thailand, Malaysia, South Africa, Australia, Egypt, Greece, Ireland, Italy, England, France, Amsterdam, Brussels. And so I've been to a few places, Cuba, Puerto Rico. I wasn't there forever. I mean, I was there for a few weeks at a time, mostly. But I did get a chance to sample things, and like my man Chouf, former debating partner who I went to South Africa with, I will talk to a mailbox just like he will, and we will just be endlessly fascinated by where we live, and that's the key, I think, and the idea of sort of catching up to what you're supposed to be doing or aiming for something and always failing isn't as empowering as being creative. And so we got to get creative today. So when it comes to the New World Order, I'm going to break this down. I'm going to break down some news for Sheezy today. But there's definitely a way of approaching this problem here in what I carefully call Communist Canada to make sure that people know, you know, you're serious and you're cool and we're cool and I'm not going to challenge your ego or make this about that. So I'll give you an example. At Shawarma Joint, you know, about 3 weeks ago, and I saw my buddy who I've known for a couple of years there. Don't know him that well, but, you know, he's worked other shawarma places in the city that I've known. And he's there with his new baby. His wife is working there. At the end of my little visit to him, I slip a little vaccine flyer in his pocket. And he's holding his kid, and I'm just like, I got to do this. And I told him, just look at this later. He's like, okay, fine. And I'm so, you know, boom. I said to his wife, yeah, I gave him some. Look at it later. And then I left him alone for 3 weeks. I'm not going to bother them if this information is disturbing. But then I went back, and she was a little bit nervous to see me. He was friendly, brief but friendly. He was very friendly. And I didn't bring it up, and he didn't bring it up. And so we exchanged some pleasantries. And I said thank you, and I was out of there. And there's a cute little baby near the exit, so I kind of goo-goo-ga-ga'd at that kid for a bit. Mentioned my nephew's 2 years old, and I do love kids, and I mean that in the most wholesome, fun, self-indulgent way. I love kids. Like, screw you guys. Like, I love, you know, if the kid's there and I love making stupid faces. If you're dating me, you're gonna see some. If you catch me on the street, you might see some. But yeah, you can have more fun being a kid, playing with a kid, than you can with almost anybody else. And so regardless, you know, obviously to each their own. But the point is that that I just left, and I think that they're cool. Because I got the vibe, they knew where I was coming from, and I got the vibe, you know, and they work there, they own the place, and they're going to start something. But if I approach that differently, if I approach that ego to ego, and just bring it up and make it about an argument, then necessarily we have to defend the realities that we were given. And that becomes problematic. And so when it comes to actually, you know, letting people know you're serious about more than winning the argument, you're actually serious about, you know, giving them some information that can help them and that can, by extension, help all of us by telling us what to avoid. Avoid things like vaccines. Go to VRAN.org for exemption forms. I circled that on a couple of the pieces of paper I gave. My buddy with a, you know, 4-month-old baby girl and a wife, new wife there, and so on. So, got another anecdote on that, but basically I sidestepped the idea of arguing with him about it, and, you know, getting to a point where he wasn't comfortable. I left us both on even territory, no matter what we talk about. Weather, leaves, shawarma, girls, whatever. Doesn't freaking matter. The point is I knew some stuff about vaccines he had to, and so I tried to share that. But Max Kaiser knows some stuff about companies and insurance and how they treat us. And so on the Alex Jones Show from the 10th of May, Max Kaiser, top financial analyst, will break down a bit of that for you here on CKLN Rude Awakening, courtesy of the Alex Jones Show.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are going into financial bondage. We are under financial siege. $1 trillion pumped into private banks. Europe being told they've got to give up their pension funds. The Germans on the verge of throwing out Merkel. She lost many seats in their government. Same thing. Gordon Brown steps down. Nicolas Sarkozy in trouble, saying no to the carbon tax. So we're having some victories against the bankers setting up their global tax, but they're going to hold us in financial hostages until we go along with it and continue to play games. As the real economy dies, they continue to have everyone addicted to their stock market. Is that a good assessment, Max Kaiser of MaxKaiser.com?
Well, all the professionals who work in the gaming industry, and we talked about this last time, and the online gaming industry are migrating into the finance business so that all of the techniques that get people hooked on games are being used to get people hooked on doing day trading. So, as I explained earlier in the show, when you see a Goldman Sachs or somebody like that pushing prices up 2 or 3%, the folks that are on the day trading, addiction kick in, and they are doing the dirty work for them. So they've basically created an army of what I call Manchurian candidates. These people, they just, when they hear the trigger word and they see certain prices flicker across the screen, they go into a zombie state, and they just do exactly what they're being told by Jim Cramer over there at CNBC.
And it's like that with terrorism. It's like that with the phony environmental movement. It's all these mind-controlled zombie groups that give the globalists power. But look at the controllers. They can't even plug this oil leak that's now, you know, millions and millions of gallons. They lied about that and said it was a few thousand gallons. They're not God. And that's what's even more dangerous is that I think they're going to lose control. I believe they're starting to lose control. Webster Tarpley, who I really respect, believes that as well. I mean, do you see them losing?
Wait a minute. The payout from the insurance company is way more than the money they're losing on that oil spill, Alex. The insurance is overwritten, just like these companies in America buy life insurance on employees. So when the employees die, the life insurance company gets the money, not the family.
No, that's what Walmart greeters are for, is they do actuaries. It's come out. They know when they're going to die statistically, so they just hire a bunch of old people to stand there because they're putting $3 million on each one of them.
They get the money, not the families, okay? This oil spill is not going to lose money for anybody who's responsible. They're going to make money.
All right,
because they've tilted the entire economic system in ways that the risk is only borne by the majority of people who have no money, and all of the rewards float up to those who are perpetrating all of these problems.
Risk is socialized, profit privatized.
But you're acting like it down now.
Do
you know you're acting like it down now?
Do
you know but you're acting like it down now?
And that's right, folks. You know, but you're acting like you don't know. And I have proof of this. I have anecdotal evidence. It's here Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. And soon next week, Wednesdays, I got to make an announcement for that. JP's moved on from his slot, passed it on. Somebody didn't necessarily want it, so I'm taking over. And here we are, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I got to wake up around 4:30 in the morning and break something down. But it's before the G20 Summit here in Toronto. I do want to talk a bit about that today, but I also want to talk about, you know, what I see, you know, knowing this information, knowing I can direct people to places where they can find just sort of the raw info, and you can get, you know, daily doses of whatever you want to know in whatever area, and, you know, you can make yourself certainly more knowledgeable, but hopefully you can apply that. But just off Queen Street yesterday, ran into a couple of guys, smoking, drinking a couple of beers with them, and talking some junk, and, you know, I tried to play it fairly conservative, but, you know, I was in the conversation with them. I did want to keep it real and be myself, but, you know, be a disciplined version of yourself. If you're a scientist, if you're a lawyer, if you're someone who knows a lot of jargon, you don't just speak in that kind of language, you know. Maybe you can help build someone's knowledge base, you know, and as opposed to tear it down, which is a lot of what happens in these types of conversations. I'm just going through, you know, 5 years of anecdotal evidence, you know, from different communities and reports on this, and no one will listen to me and all this sort of thing. Well, here as we move deeper into the 21st century, here in May 2010, just a few months from the supposed 2012 UN World Government, our language is being shrunk. You know, we're all on Twitter. I'm speaking in Twitter form now. If I put two or three or four paragraphs together, I have trouble reading it. So I find it's much easier if, you know, I just space those paragraphs with a big, you know, they're like twits now. You know, if I write, like 5-6 paragraphs in a row, I'm going to twit them. You know, I'm talking about within the body of an email or a letter or essay or whatever, just to make it easier for people to process and digest each thought in the way that we're getting used to. None of this is necessarily bad, but as I'm hanging out with the two guys, you know, more stuff comes up. The guy who was supposedly a bit more smarter and alpha, he didn't know how much his buddy knew about so-called, you know, conspiracy stuff. You know, he wasn't all hardcore into it. He had a bunch of things that random things that he found that indicted certain things, you know, and so he was bringing some of those up, and his buddy was impressed. And if I hadn't been there, these two guys who obviously know each other, you know, this might not have come up for some time, if ever, especially since the guy with the dominant personality of, you know, this couple of dudes hanging, probably wouldn't hear of it. You know, but I came along, I'm, you know, a radio journalist, cool guy to hang out with for a little bit on a nice afternoon off Queen Street in downtown Toronto, in the way that you would do in great tourist cities around the world. If you were in Amsterdam, you'd expect to be able to do the same thing with locals there, who are that friendly and that nice and that interesting, you know, and worth the time and effort. And you know, it's good times we have here in this city. But the bottom line is that there are ways of approaching this, including kind of a silent move with the with the flyer in the pocket thing, you know, kind of building someone's knowledge base. There's just a bunch more stuff. But I'll break that down in a second. But one of the reasons that we know but we're acting like we don't know is we're blaming the wrong people. And a lot of that is because the New World Order, the powers that be evil, the establishment, however you want to define them, look at who runs the world, pretty open these days, is promoting a lot of racism. And so Alex Jones is going to break down a new film called Machete and some violence taking place on the border with Mexico.
And notice he wanted to make this back in the mid-1990s when he was already a successful director. They never picked it up. It's now been funded in the last year and a half by Fox Studios, and it's now coming out because the system, not that Rodriguez is, I think, CIA or part of this, but look at the timing. The system knows when to use things. So let's play the trailer here, the censored, self-censored trailer by Fox, 20th Century Fox Studios. Before I ever covered this, they were pulling it because, again, I'm being contacted by the crew who are Hispanic and are upset about this. They're not stupid. Here it is.
This is Machete with a special Cinco de Mayo message to Arizona. They called him Machete. $70 a day for yard work. $100 for roofing.
Get in.
$125 for septum.
Have you ever killed anyone before? As you know, illegal Americans are being forced out of our country at an alarming rate. For the good of both our people, the senator must die.
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse.
Make no mistake, we are at war. Every time an illegal dances across our border, it is an act of aggression against this sovereign state, an overt act of terrorism.
Set up, double cross, and left for dead.
You think what you do is right? Taking your brothers and sisters in, supporting them back to their own personal hell. Ah, there are many laws.
You want me to help you kill all these men?
Yes, bro.
See what I can do.
AK-47s and he's laying waste everything
that gets
in the path.
But they soon realize they just with the wrong Mexican. Machete.
Now, this is the first official trailer. Now, let's go to a clip from 2 weeks ago, minutes after this lady and others said, "We'll rise up with our pickaxes and attack you." The police were then attacked and stood down. Now imagine if a Tea Party did this. They'd be called terrorists all over the news. Or if a Tea Party burned down a restaurant and attacked 20 shops in Santa Cruz. Now here is this lady. I mean, this is what's really being said. In Mexico, the peasant uprisings are symbolized by machetes, whereas in European history, it's by pitchforks. So this is a pitchfork movie where the gringos are bad, and it mirrors what's actually being said. Here's a clip.
Will not stop. We will take up our shovels and our pickaxes and we break the land and make it landscaping and put your toilets and our toilets. We will use them against you. Believe that.
Okay, now I want to go to break with another clip here. This is L.A. teacher. He's at UCLA with some of his high school students. calling for Mexican revolt in the United States. And, folks, this is all just in the last week. Just go put La Raza, Mecha, Professor, calls for violence. I mean, you'll have UT Dallas, head of Chicano Studies. You'll have just hundreds of clips, hundreds and hundreds of clips saying, we don't want white people here. We're going to get you. We're going to go out to break with this, come back and finish it up. Here it is.
I want to start off by saying that the young man who spoke a little while ago was one of my students. And that made me so proud because I know that our people have strong leaders for years and years to come. As a militante Unión del Barrio, a revolutionary Mexican organization here, we understand what the camarada is saying. You're right, this is not just about Mexico. This is about a global struggle against imperialism and capitalism.
Yes.
But we know that all of that is happening in the context of where we now stand is stolen, occupied Mexico.
That's sedition.
And the message that we bring is we want to bring a little bit of more of a revolutionary context to this. Why is it that these people, these frail, racist, white people, want to keep us out of this country? It's not because simply the color of our skin. It's not simply because they just want to exploit us. Let me tell you why. Because on this planet right now, of 6 billion people, at the forefront of the revolutionary movement is the raza. When you go to Venezuela... an example of our comandante, Fidel Castro Ruz, we got Hugo Chavez, Evo Morales, we got Brazil, Ecuador,
right,
you name it.
We're going to come back and finish this. And then he goes on to say, you are revolutionaries, we're going to overthrow the United States for communism, and we're going to kick the frail white people out of here. Now, that is somebody who says he's a Mexican, and he's on government payroll, and he's not going to get fired. He's not going to get in trouble. He's going to be promoted. He'll probably end up being mayor.
Who runs New York? That's right, folks. You're back. That was a clip from the Alex Jones Show. An incendiary, inflammatory clip. Oh, no. If you don't support the Mexicans in that situation, then you're a racist. If you do support them, you're a genocidalist. So, it's another stupid New World Order trap. Oh no, should I drink Coke or Pepsi? Both will cause cancer. Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi with aspartame, both will cause cancer. I mean, you know, the debate in the mainstream media right now is designed to dumb us down, just like it has been for quite some time. And so you got to get money, and you got to get why money would fund hardcore, you know, militant, violent nationalism. It's because they want to start riots. They want to start chaos in the streets. They get order out of chaos. The crazier we act, the more power government has. And if you've seen the new giant CAMH, Center for Addiction and Mental Health, concentration camp located at Queen and Ossington, that's my charitable word for it. If you look into psychiatry and industry of death, Google that term, watch that movie, and just look into psychiatry in general, look into Big Pharmacide, look into all the admissions about Prozac, look into Generation RX, film by director Kevin Miller on the drugging of our children and the hyper-drugging of our children. Well, there's statements made by these people, and you'll understand why I call CAMH a giant 27-acre, multi-billion-dollar concentration camp that's growing up right in the middle of downtown Toronto. And so how do they keep us preoccupied with this? Well, they stir up feelings of racism and tribalism, and they get us to blame the wrong people. You know, when I talk to people about these issues sometimes, you know, I talked to another dude just the other day, and I was bringing up, you know, some of these issues in a generic sort of way at first. And he was saying to me, oh, yeah, I saw a homeless guy on the street out there, you know, just begging for change. He was doing nothing. And I was like, look, man, you're smart. You know stuff I don't. I'm smart. I know stuff you don't. That's mind control. I'm sorry, homeboy, but you got to check this out. The people that we blame the most, you know, we blame the homeless, we blame the poor, we blame minorities, We blame immigrants. We blame the kids. We blame teens. The people we blame the most have the least control over society and our culture. And so it's important to note that because obviously, you know, it's mind control may not be something you want to hear, but there are posters all up and down Queen Street and downtown of a band called Mind Control. So you know, there are people reminding you that it exists for one reason or another. But we all have to look for improving. So if you prefer it not to be mind control, and you being not mind control and having to defend every thought you have and every action you take and the human you are and not trying to prove yourself, well, that's just as bad. So do keep that in mind out there that you know, the powers that be evil. Max Kaiser talked about how they take out massive insurance policies on us and they hire old people and they collect, you know, $3 million after, you know, having somebody work for 5 years and paying them, you know, $25,000 a year. But I get money. Money has always sown this divide and conquer, these divide and conquer schemes. And when the subject of the Middle East and terrorists came up yesterday in a conversation, I did point out that, you know, since the days of Lawrence of Arabia and the setting up of the Saudi royal family to kind of run the Middle East, you know, by the British and the Anglo-Americans, they've always tried to fund the most backward groups to keep a people backward and down. So they never politically organize and get educated and demand more and so on. It's in the globalist interest, it's in the colonialist interest to keep their slaves as dumb and poor and shackled as possible. It was in the interest of the Roman Empire to hand out free bread and have circuses so that the people, you know, when they were working all week and they were, you know, getting, you know, their backs broken through the labors they'd have to do and then getting most of their earnings taxed, you know, that then after that, okay, I get it. Sorry about that. Then after that, you know, they gave him some distractions. So the same thing's happening right now. And so from that, I'd like to go to henrymakow.com for an article by David Richards for henrymakow.com, henrymakow.com. David is a 22-year-old UK citizen who's teaching English in northern China. His first contribution was porn, watching bruised and drugged prostitutes, which, you know, to a large extent is true. And if you are watching porn out there, you do see signs that someone is actually in pain, because there are women that'll be like, ah, this is pain, but there's the $500 over there, and if I get this over with, then I can make my rent. You know, if you're in that situation, then, you know, fall back, pull off, go somewhere else. You don't want to get used to seeing that. You don't want to get used to seeing sadistic stuff and then needing more sadistic stuff to get off on. So on that note, I'd like to, let me see here, let me load this up. There we go. All right, I'm going to read this article here. Again, I do DJ the show, and I do host the show on the fly live, and so I kind of see where it's going, and it's going all sorts of crazy places today, but I kind of breaking down the big picture with Max Kaiser out there, the financial picture, the New World Order, but our socialization, why we don't talk about things. Again, this article by David Richards for henrymakow.com. I am wide awake at 2 a.m. I'm watching the WikiLeaks video of American soldiers gunning down Iraqi civilians for kicks on a loop, but the reality of the footage won't compute. I can't feel shocked. Eventually, I give up and collapse into an uneasy sleep, disgusted with myself. If I'm not outraged, then I must be sympathetic with it on a primitive level. My generation's notion of what is real and unreal has become blurred. The video is little more than an unsatisfactory piece of entertainment, inferior in brutality and detail to computer games and films. The mindset is the product of our mass media saturated lifestyle. We grew up isolated in our bedrooms, were formed by entertainment machines that allowed us to disappear into a black hole. Even on the move, we can stick headphones in our ears to deafen thought. Our daily life is a seamless blend of the mundane and fantasy that becomes surrealistic. We are amusement junkies. We are like a smoker with his cough or the fast food addict with his mammoth waistline. Stunted and simplistic speech is a sign of our sickness. We have devoted little time to our intellectual development and through reflection, reading, and debate. Our mind is weak and disoriented. A tumbler dryer of media impulses and implanted desires. Seduced into being intellectual cripples, we can barely express anything more than impulses. We can't talk. We Twitter in block capital letters. And you know, I've been going off on Twitter on this show.
If we live or we die.
And on that note, back to the article. The result is a strange, zombie-like creature that is incapable of intimacy with others. Please don't take our apathy and detachment personally. We have no awareness of who we really are. Without the constant feed of electronic devices, our minds are like television static. We feel no urgency to develop intelligence because there is no outlet for it. What is the point of reading and formulating your own ideas if those around you want nothing but novelty and cheap thrill? I felt I was playing with fire by reading and writing. I mean, what are you going to say? Hey, I was reading and writing. I thought of this. Who has the patience? Who has the time? And that's the point, is that if you can express yourselves less and people have less tolerance and you have less ability to say things, then the whole engagement with each other becomes much more, you know, Brave New Worldian, where we're sort of like animals, predatorily, you know, looking to each other for temporary fixes. Relationships become much less important when you can't communicate in a unique way that you would miss later. When it becomes about playing it safe, you know, having some sex, and then getting out of there, because really, you know, what's the point of continuing this? You know, it's been done. So that's what's going on. Back to the article. I would fight to reach out to my friends. Their superficial exterior consisted of mimicked bits and pieces from entertainment. Who were they, really? The problem was they didn't know either. We never did find out. The effect of blasting your senses with amusement all day long is the disillusion of the self. That's right, folks. If you're not creating, if you're not thinking of your own thoughts and trying to get those validated, if you're just referencing things you're supposed to reference or knowing what's hot to say right now because, you know, that's the best way to make friends because you want to be cool and you don't want to be an outcast in this culture, you know, and so on. There's the problem. The problem with that is that, you know, again, it's, hey, do you hear about Tiger Woods? Yeah, of course. Who hasn't heard about Tiger Woods? You know? And so that becomes part of that. But how do we get around this? How do we break this down? It's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, it is technically easy. You know, technically it's easy to get the word out about the New World Order, Anglo-American establishment, historical, you know, conspiracy running the world that's poisoning all of us, messing with our minds, bodies, and souls, and our news and info. But physically, it's hard to get around that. But one thing we got to do is we should clean out some of the clutter that's in our minds. And you know, I've had some thinking for a while now where the more little things that bother us, the more paper cuts we get on our soul on a daily basis, the more, you know, we take looks from people personally or you know, we feel frustrated, you know, perpetually or we're just bombarded by little bits of stress or need to buy this or do that or go here or there or call them. You know, the more those paper cuts we get, the less energy we have to take on the big pictures. And then we watch the news. It absolutely murders us. Because it is getting quite depressing these days.
Now,
as Eminem said, you can replace Michael Myers' knife with flowers and a stack of flyers. The only remotely experienced bit that I caught on Relapse's last album. It's really, really simple. If you don't feel like getting yourself in the mood to talk or be able to talk for, you know, ridiculous periods like I can, you know, here a few days a week on the radio and elsewhere, don't worry about it. Break it down, make it simple. AJ is going to break down a couple of DVDs for you, then get into the well-funded racists and the foundations behind them with Mr. Webster Griffin Tarpley, from the 11th of May 2010, the Alex Jones Show.
The rest of citizens, what they're really setting up. Conservatives have got to see this, particularly, and liberals, so they understand anti-terror is for the American people. Such an important film, a year in the making. Jason Burmes' new film, a year and a half in the making, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, that it's really an old world order of finance oligarchs, their crimes, their narcotics trafficking, all of it available at Infowars.com, or you can simply call toll-free 888-253-3139. And your purchase also funds our operation. We're not funded by the Ford Foundation or by the New World Order. We're funded by your support, and I want to thank you. You have made what we do here possible. Get the book, Barack H. Obama, The Unauthorized Biography, if you want to really know what's going on, what's behind Obama. Obama, The Postmodern Coup, both of these available at Infowars.com. course, he also wrote the unauthorized biography of George H.W. Bush and all of his Nazi ties. I mean, Tarpley is an equal opportunity offender. He just goes at the facts. Now, Tarpley heard me during the last segment playing the Ford Foundation operative and all these speakers everywhere at these open borders rallies saying, we are communists. We're going to overthrow America. We're going to kick the gringos out. They want division, just like over and over again, every month, top white supremacists that comes out are feds. So Webster Tarpley, you were one of the, probably the leading expert. I mean, both these books cover it. On the Ford Foundation, on the CIA, Washington Post admits for 50 years they sent radical textbooks to madrasas all over the Middle East, Central Asia, really expanding the Muslim Brotherhood, expanding what the Germans had done in World War II into this ultra-radical group so that they won't politically work with others. Explain what's happening on this before we get in to the economy.
Well, just briefly on that, this raving character that you're quoting is all over many radio stations. Rush Limbaugh gave a great deal of attention to this character. And the obvious truth about him is this is not some authentic, honest person who believes in Mao or whatever it is and wants a revolution. This is a cynical, money-grubbing shill. He is a provocateur funded by the foundations, and his job is to get out there and spout the most inflammatory rhetoric that he can so that you work people up into a hysteria. There's a grave danger this week that people would say, it's time to crush Wall Street. It's time to shut down hedge funds, wipe out derivatives, put Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs in jail. So at this point, the wonderful foundations come forward conveniently with a diversion, right, to say, don't worry about Wall Street. Don't worry about Citibank and Bank of America robbing you blind and raping your entire family and the future to come. Let's focus on wetbacks. Let's get out there and get some good anti-Hispanic, anti-Latino hysteria going, and then we can play that. That's divide and conquer. It's the oldest game in the world. And in the course of writing those books you were kind enough to mention, this is Obama's background. What do you think Jeremiah Wright was, the guy at the church who has all the abuse for America and U.S. of KKKA? Who pays him? Well, foundations pay him. They pay him to make this kind of stuff ultimately into a religion. That's what he represents. And Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn, what were they 30, 40 years ago, right, with their bombings of various public buildings from the Pentagon to the Capitol to New York City police headquarters? Same thing, divide and conquer, right? Get extremists out there, make them the face of protest movements, and then it's easy to isolate and destroy the protest movement. In other words, it's time to wake up to manipulation. We also have this American Indian movement, right? We have all kinds of foundation-funded operatives in those, and in the Hispanic community. There's La Raza. They get their money, a lot of it, from the Ford Foundation.
Oh, no. I mean, they're completely bankrolled. They're completely bankrolled by the Ford Foundation and the Fortune 500. But let's go back. Robert Rodriguez put a trailer out for a film coming out in 4 months in September, September 3rd. And we, by the way, just got the script. It's what we thought. I have people inside his organization separately contact me who are Hispanic. And they said, we're worried about a backlash against Hispanics on this. We wish you would cover it. And all I had was the trailer. Fox has now pulled the trailer, but it shows that all whites are basically racist. An uprising of, you know, machete Hispanics have to fight the racist gringos. It says that we didn't cross the border crossed us. I don't think Rodriguez is a bad guy.
I don't know about this guy. I'm talking about this character who makes this speech in this.
No, I know. But, I mean, that's standard for these things. This is what I'm saying. What do you think of a major movie injecting the same type of rhetoric put out by 20th Century Fox?
I don't know. This movie is something I haven't seen, and I haven't been able to pay any attention to it in the midst of this financial panic. But the one thing we know is that the people who lead these movements are provocateurs. They're paid agents of foundations. Then, of course, you have dupes. You have people who get caught up into the ideological extremism and the fanaticism, and it becomes cool and it becomes the way to go, so they go with the flow. I can't comment on individuals, obviously, but the general idea that you should now focus on questions of race or ethnicity is pure insanity. The great rule of politics is fight Wall Street. If you're not fighting bankers, you're spinning your wheels. You're cutting your own throat. throat. You're betraying every value. Because the main center of evil is in Wall Street, and people have got to deal with it. And wake up.
And that's right, folks. Did recruit Webster Griffin Tarpley from Tarpley.net, Tarpley.net, to break that down. He's one of those guys, he's absolutely brilliant. I interviewed him once, and I interviewed his publisher, actually, to get to him. So I was kind of sneaky about it. I wasn't trying to be sneaky, but, you know, and his publisher was really interesting. I forget the gentleman's name, but Progressive Press, I believe, Webster Griffin Tarpley's publisher of 9/11 Synthetic Terror, Autobiography of George Bush Sr., which, again, his ties, Nazi ties and his CIA involvement, and the Bush crime family goes back 50 years of trying to ruin the world. They've been instrumental in the New World Order plans as a Skull and Bones family out of Yale University, a member of that fraternity there, as was admitted in the 2004 elections, where Bush and Kerry both said, yes, we're Skull and Bones, and no, we're not going to talk about it. So, you know, we've known a lot for a long time, and it's good to check in with it once in a while. I'm going to finish off this article by Mr. Richards from henrymacow.com, because it is quite engaging, but perhaps with a different musical backdrop. Entertainment culture was reflected in perfect group dominance of in the perfect dominance of group mentality in my school. The, quote, alternative groups were almost always the most conformist. Goths in my town expressed their resistance to the dominant culture by hanging out with other identically dressed goths. I remember a story of a teenage girl who started taking Prozac to cure her depression. Upon taking the drug, she seemed much improved to those close to her, until one evening she was watching television with her parents and, without warning, walked into the garage and hung herself. All the drug did was numb her mind, and her inner turmoil continued to escalate, and overdosing on amusement has the same effect. I can see this in the drinking culture of Britain. We have a desperate need to intoxicate ourselves to function in social situations. From my early teens, we would gather at night and drink, intent to make ourselves sick. We did it to purge ourselves of the pain we felt. When you are lost in media, you become alienated from your own perceptions and experiences, and in consequence, the pain you suffer is terribly abstract. I remember reading boxing autobiographies as a teen and feeling jealous of the men who had fought their way out of poverty-stricken backgrounds. They could at least see an enemy and had the opportunity to channel their desire for success in a constructive way. Our vague and surrealistic consciousness leads to the feeling that there is some alien force attacking us from somewhere, but it is invisible and indefinable, and it seems to go away when we turn on the machine. And that's the thing, is that this is the world that's being created. As Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com has said, the New World Order wants to make us happy and poor. Happy and poor. And the heroes they give us on TV aren't going to save us. Unfortunately, that does include Jon Stewart. I got to go at him again. He does come up on a regular basis whenever politics is referenced in mixed company, because, you know, he's the guy. I mean, if you're going to get political, Stewart's your guy. The problem is he's not doing a very good job these days. And by that, I mean, he's really baby-talking his audience. You know, it's sort of like, what you mean we shouldn't have health care? Huh? You know, he'll get all Scooby-Doo on you. And it's cute. And if you think it's that simple, and, well, if it was that simple, and he made it that simple, fine. But he's taking a more complicated issue. It's actually isn't that complicated. The health insurance companies and big drug companies wrote the Obamacare bill. The media lied about it. They convinced the left that everybody has health care. And if you ask people on the left, they're like, yeah, we won. But then if you said, what did you win? Like, what are the details of the health care bill? They may or may not realize, and may or may not care, that they don't know and that they weren't told. And so, so on to Obama here. This is from Salon Magazine, courtesy of ConspiracyCulture.com, Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles here in downtown Toronto. Great place. Patrick posts some links in an RSS feed type situation. So go to ConspiracyCulture.com to see a daily update on the crazy stuff that Patrick, who's quite conspiracy, finds. This is by Glenn Greenwald from Salon from January 15th. And yeah, there's another one from the 15th that I missed too that I'm going to break down in a sec here. Obama confidant's spine-chilling proposal. Cass Sunstein has long been one of Barack Obama's closest confidants. Often mentioned as a likely Obama nominee to the Supreme Court, Sunstein is currently Obama's head of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, where, among other things, he is responsible for, quote, overseeing policies relating to privacy, information quality, and statistical programs. I did read an article about this back in January here on CKLN, and someone mentioned an article I read talked about how the most mundane titles, like Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs and that other boring crap I just read, might make them the most dangerous. So back to the article here. In 2008, while at Harvard, Harvard Law School, Sunstein co-wrote a truly pernicious paper proposing the U.S. government employ teams of covert agents and pseudo, quote, independent advocates to, quote, cognitively infiltrate online groups and websites, as well as other activist groups, which advocate views that Sunstein deems, quote, false conspiracy theories about the government. This would be designed to increase citizens' faith in government officials and undermine the credibility of conspiracists. The paper's abstract can be read, and the full paper can be downloaded here. So basically, Obama chose a guy that wrote this. He chose a guy that wrote this. And there's an article from the New York Times from today. Obama said to be open to new Miranda look. David Axelrod, top White House political advisor, said Monday that President Obama was amenable to Attorney General Eric Holder's call for a new law allowing interrogators to question terrorism suspects for lengthy periods without informing them of their rights. Now, keep in mind out there in CKLN radio listener land that they are now turning the terrorism machinery onto domestic citizens in America and here in Canada as well. For example, an article from HenryMacow.com, cops raid Toronto home of outspoken Muslim from April 20th, 2010. Picture Muslim activist Salman Hossein. And yeah, it says the Ontario Provincial Police raided the Mississauga home of Muslim activist under pressure from the B'nai B'rith and Canadian Jewish Congress. And he was saying some, you know, quite awful stuff. So you can get into that at HenryMakow.com, where there's the good and the bad of it, and you can see if it's worth protecting, you know, speech in it of this fashion. But, you know, the bottom line is that the apparatus is being turned on citizens now. And so when this article here from InfoWars, courtesy of the New York Times, who again reprints about the best of the mainstream media. 90% of InfoWars.com is not conspiracy theory stuff. That's what's crazy about what people believe about this when they don't actually look at it. It's actually mainstream news. It's rare mainstream news. I mean, this is incredibly huge, but it's not necessarily going to make it around. You know, what's published may be true. What's promoted widely is inevitably either false or for some ulterior motive to try and control us. And so, you know, this will be, you know, you'll catch these at InfoWars.com, including Canadian news. But yeah, Obama's confidant, Cass Sunstein, talked about regulating the internet, going after conspiracy theorists. They're going after the Tea Parties in the U.S. and the fake debate out there where the left hates the Tea Parties and thinks they're stupid, you know, without really understanding them. And the right, you know, doesn't like the left, you know, same thing. You know, keep in mind what happened in the Bush administration. The Bush was in charge, the Republicans were in charge, and the Bushites would not listen to anybody else. No matter what you had to say, no matter what you found out, no matter what, WNB's nothing. And they would make excuses for everything Bush did. Oh, I'm sure they were there. They didn't find WNBs in Iraq, and this whole invasion was a mistake, and all those people dead is a horrible crime. Oh, you know, things happen. Yeah, well, he's a strong leader. The left is doing the same for Obama now, and Obama's making him do that. So it's a double-edged sword. It's not the individual's fault. It's the system's fault, the New World Order's fault. That's how they play us. That's how they roll. Edward Bernays, known as the father of modern propaganda, here from VigilantCitizen.com, says, "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society. Our invisible governors are, in many cases, unaware of the identity of their fellow members in the inner cabinet." So yeah, it's a pyramid, folks. It's a giant pyramid scheme. There's a few people at the top, And then there's just compartmentalized pyramids. We're all in the whatever world you understand in Toronto and your work environment and so on, that's your compartment. And you don't really know what's going on around the world or, heck, in Pickering. And neither do I, for that matter. This is the way, you know, things work. And so information outside of what we immediately access, you know, can be, you know, something that could be suspect. And this is from anywhere and everywhere. So even me who goes off here, you know, Mondays, Tuesdays, now Wednesdays and Thursdays on CKLN Radio, as I see HST will lower tax on booze, but the price is going up from thestar.com. You can expect to pay more to drown your sorrows over the 13% harmonized sales tax this summer from Robert Benzie, Queen's Park Bureau Chief. Wine and liquor prices are expected to rise in July, even though the business-friendly HST will actually lower tax on booze, the Star has learned. Internal industry research reveals that while consumers will pay the equivalent of an 8% provincial tax after July 1st to the existing 12% on alcohol, retail sales prices will not drop. So why was the study released? Predictive programming. They're trying to condition us to get used to it. Folks, they're going for our booze. They're chemtrailing us and going for our patio season. 4 days of rain this past weekend. After chemtrails on Friday, I barely caught because I was holed up on my magical internet. But there are things we can do about this. And so outside of information you get from somewhere else and argue about, let's focus on getting to know what's going on here in this city and wherever the hell you live. Do the same, because that's the best way to influence that. Make no doubt about that. But here on Thursday, the 13th of May, 2010, hope you did enjoy the show. I am out of here shortly. It appears that Mr. Bill Watson is going to come up and drop a little jazz bungee verse on you. Please do stick around and enjoy 4 hours of jazz brilliance from Mr. Watson. But before I go, I will leave you with two of America's Most Wanted and some websites to check: Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, TrendsResearch.com, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com. I'm going to start doing some crazy stuff for the G20 folks. I'm going to do a business outreach next week. I'm rolling. People should be rolling. We should be talking to other people in the city like we know them and like we like them. And if we make a habit of that, who the hell knows what could happen? But at TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, Dan Dix, Brian Law, Steve Davies. Brian Law was arrested for filming in public under this heightened pretense of the G20. So you're going to start to see wacky stuff go down. I'm going to start going hardcore on that next week. But do keep an eye out for it and go to PressForTruth.ca for more info on that. ConspiracyCulture.com, grab a book or DVD, grab a gift for someone, grab some for yourself, make copies, pass them out, download flyers, pass them out. Do something. Express yourself in this culture today. But I'm out of here, folks, and Toronto Street News as well. Regardless, as it has been the 13th of May, 2010, it is an auspicious day. If you think it's bad luck, change it. If you think it's good luck, enjoy it. Peace out, everybody.
Let me tell you about life and about the way it is. You see, we live by the gun, so we die by the gun.
Tell me not to roll with